Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday afternoon, July the 6th, 2005. Fourth of July week, family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Nathan Hobson of Pampa, Texas, is the minister on this.
This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Lord really showed me something out of this whole episode. But I went back in and to get the certificate for the new tie, and I apologized to him. No, I didn't. I just said, well, listen, I was really frustrated. I mean, I've been here 3 hours, and I was supposed to have been out of here in 45 minutes and blah, blah, blah. And I said, I got mad. And I said, it wasn't your fault. He said, yeah, but you took it out on me. And I looked him right in the eye, and I said, I sure did. And I hope you'll forgive me. I said, I ask you to forgive me. And he did. But sometimes, see, we have those things happen like that that we don't speak to the Lord about. We get angry at somebody, a little road rage. I know nobody in this room ever gets into road rage. But, you know, and somebody will cut in on you and you'll mutter something under your breath. And all of y'all are grinning, know what I'm talking about. Honk that horn and all that, you know. And then you forget how you lost your cool. You got angry. And you didn't apologize to the Lord for it. You probably couldn't apologize to the person that offended you because they were probably on down the road because they'd cut in front of you and out about half a dozen more and out of sight now. But anyway, 1 John, let's go to 1 John. 1 John 5, verse 14. Now, I've referred to this already, but this is going to be our last scripture. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Now, again, intercession and prayer is to be used to intercede for others. In other words, putting others above our own selfish needs and desires. Because by and large, everybody in this room has got a pretty bad case of selfishness. And I be one of the first to admit that there are things that I want, and bless God, I want them right now. And I've had to learn patience. I've had to repent of a lot of things. But all of us are certainly susceptible to expressing our selfishness in various different ways. Are you listening? Okay. Okay. We need to then to repent of our selfishness and prefer others above ourselves. You know, anymore it doesn't bother me at all. And this is just Jesus, okay? I can pull up to a four-way stop sign, you know, where all traffic stops, and be the first one there. But I look over there to the right or to the left and somebody's antsy because they're ooching up. I just motion to them, go on. I don't have to be the first one through that intersection. Just let them go ahead and go. Then they wonder, you know, that was pretty nice, that guy. See, you ought to have the look all on your face all the time as a Christian, everybody, and such a smile that everybody wonders what you've been up to. That's right. You ought to look different. I mean, you know, the world, always mad, angry, road rage, clerks don't treat you right, and all of that stuff in the stores and everything. You just go in there. And you know, act like Jesus would act. Remember that book, What Would Jesus Do? Just put that into action. What would He do? What would He do in this situation or that situation? Now, this whole thing is about breaking chains. And it's really, intercessory prayer and all of that is not only breaking chains off of others, but it's breaking chains off of ourselves. Because we have so many preconceived ideas, presuppositions, so many opinions. Now, I know that I'm probably the only person in this room that's opinionated, but I am opinionated about some things. Now, Carla, she's already admitted she's the one in the room that's not, but What she said, I am not. If you don't want to get picked on. I know it. Well, there's one thing about it. She came up to our place, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years ago and went through deliverance. And one thing, if nothing else, she got delivered of was this idea of being offended. I don't remember what she got delivered of. Anyway, you see, there are a lot of people in our midst that are bound with chains, as described earlier in this message. There are those that are lost and undone without hope who need a champion to intercede for them. If you want to be a champion for God, it's not in how many people you lay hands on and they get up and walk, or how many you help out of a wheelchair. It's how much time you spend in interceding for that person who's lost and undone and needs Jesus in their life. And we've gotten away from that in the church. You know, when I first got saved back in 1954, that was the theme of the church. And it wasn't making a profession of faith. When somebody walked the aisle back in those days, I noticed that, by and large, the church declared, "Oh, Mike got saved last night." But you see, we got so much sloppy agape and cheap grace and all of that stuff going around that now they don't say they get saved anymore. They'll say, "Mike made a profession of faith." Now, that simply says that if it doesn't stick, he was just going through the motions. That's what that profession of faith means. Did you ever think about it like that? I mean, if you're going to get saved, get saved. Don't make a profession of faith. Now, the Bible says, yes, if I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth. Yes. Well, confess, Jesus. Confess. I got saved. Jesus saved me. Be specific. And there's a lot of people that need you to pray for them so they can get saved, delivered, healed, filled, and all of that. Will we as a segment of the body of Christ enter into the arena of war and fight for those outside and those inside who are struggling with all kinds of problems? Will you be a champion to somebody that's in chains? God needs some champions to stand up. God needs some warriors that will take the weapons of the warfare, which are not carnal, not natural weapons. That's what's wrong with the church growth movement, is it's all built around secular promotions that entertain people but doesn't bring people to a change of nature. And when you really get saved, your nature changes. You become a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new, and it's a life-changing experience. It's not some kind of little religious ritual that you go through and that you can walk back and say, "I'm a member of this church or that church." And you can say all that and go right straight to hell if you hadn't had a life-changing experience with Jesus Christ. If you haven't been born again of the Spirit of God, you will not make heaven. And knowing about Him doesn't count. Knowing Him, in Matthew 7:21, He says, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." And they'd done all this good stuff. They'd built hospitals and they'd done all these sort of things, just like the nations do and all of that, you know. But He said, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. All of your works are as filthy rags if they're not in Christ. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." And that's the secret, right there, knowing Christ. Well, praise the Lord. Will you be a champion for somebody who is bound with chains? And if you go on and look at the next verses in this incident in Peter's life, you'll see the divine intervention of the Lord in dispatching the angel for his release. And God still has ministering angels alive and well on planet Earth today. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. We've got 32 minutes, and we're going to do what we're going to do now in 32 minutes. I'm going to move this back just a little bit. Move this flower pot back just a little bit. If you're here with your spouse and you want to renew your vows and a blessing spoken over your marriage, I want you to come and line up here right now. Will you do that? Now, this wasn't my idea. It's something that was requested by some of the folks. Well, we'll bless you too. Now, just stand facing me right across here. Get in a straight line. Back up just a little bit. Go over that way a little farther. We want everybody up here. If you have to, curl around the ends a little bit. Okay? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Take your pretty wife by the hand. Now, I'm going to say a couple of things before we do this, and then Janie's going to say a couple of things. Where'd she go? There she comes. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to talk to you ladies a minute, okay? But before I do, I want to refer you to, and we're not going to go there, Genesis 2:21, which basically says that a man shall leave his mother and his father and take unto himself a wife, and they two shall be one. Now, shortly before that, it says that God took a rib out of Adam, and Adam is the Hebrew word for man. Actually, in the Hebrew, it says Adam. And then he took that rib, and he made woman, or woman, in good old regular English. Now, here's the thing that you need, that I want you to consider about this. The word rib means a curved piece of something. It does, that's one of the meanings. It does not necessarily mean that piece of bone. And actually, what it really refers to is that God took a side out of Adam. He took a part of what Adam was and created woman. Now, what was that part that he took out? He took out the sensitivity, the compassion, the mother's heart, the tenderness, and things of that nature out of the woman, out of the man, and put her in the woman. And he left in the man logic and reason and protection and some other things that may not be too desirable. Daniel will talk about them. Okay? She's going to talk to the men. I'm going to talk to the women. And in Matthew 19:5, Jesus reiterates that. And then in Ephesians 5:18 through 33, it talks about wives, submit yourself to your husbands, et cetera, and so forth. Now, where'd my notes go? Here. I had about 20 minutes to scribble all this down. Now, ladies, this is some things you need to know about your husband, about your mate, okay? No one is able to bruise his self-image or his ego or his esteem like you can do it. No one can do that. His self-worth. No one can bruise his self-worth like you can. And the results of the bruising are manifested basically in the following. One is withdrawal. He will just back away. That was my thing. See, if Jane and I got into a discussion about anything, I'd just walk out. I'd just withdraw. If she pointed something out to me in my life that I didn't want to give up, I would just disappear for the rest of the day. Or I would go to the lodge. I was a member of, not the Masonic Lodge, but the Independent Order of Odd Fellows, which was the poor man's Masonic Lodge. I'm serious, it really was. I don't think it exists hardly anywhere anymore. But let me tell you, and I'll just say this in passing. Guys, listen to this now, and ladies, because they, Rebecca's and stuff like that were the women's side of that. Those lodges are so cultic that I made Monday night meeting 6 years straight without ever missing a meeting. And you know what else in that 6 years? I didn't go to church. Now, that's a rabbit trail. I'll get off of that. But see, you can withdraw. Ladies, he will withdraw away from you if you bruise his ego. And then sometimes it turns out the symptom will be anger. And sometimes even violence. Now, I could get mad at Janie, but as God is my witness, I've never laid a hand on her in anger. So I was scared to. I saw what she did to her brother with that ashtray. You know? But if your husband has a hot button, and I'm sure he does because all of us do, then you know how to push it better than anybody else in the world. You know how to push his hot button. And the sad thing is, ladies, sometimes you'll do that on purpose. Just because you're mad. Okay? Now, you see, the scary thing is then, ladies, that if you bruise his ego, his self esteem and all of that, he may start looking for affirmation in other places. And I'm not necessarily saying he may go out and start chasing another skirt or something. That does happen. But he will look for affirmation in places like the lodge. Or we have a son-in-law that evidently is in his midlife crisis because he's going to the gym, lost 40 pounds, he's bought him a Harley and all of that stuff. And there comes a time in the life of every man when he begins to doubt his masculinity. He's not achieved his dreams, his plans. He's not able to perform and do things physically that he once could. Are you guys listening to me? Okay. But he may look for affirmation in other places. There's nobody that can enhance his self-worth like you can. You can bruise his ego better than anybody else, but you can also enhance his self-worth better than anybody else. And you know that. Because when he's kind of down and discouraged, and if you'll just look at him and grin and say, honey, I feel your pain, or whatever, can we talk about it? Well, the thing about men is that when they talk about their hurts and their pains, we've been programmed to believe that that's a sign of weakness on our part. Little men don't cry. I was taught that from the time I was that big. I finally learned to cry after Jane and I had been married about 20 years, and it wasn't her fault that I learned to cry. It was a God thing. God broke loose the dams in my eyes and let my eyes run water. Because you see, tears are a natural thing. You girls can cry at the drop of a hat, but you guys, you have a hard time just letting your emotions show. And particularly if it has to do, gals, if it has to do with being tender toward you, or anything of that nature, then he's got to be big and strong. Take care of my lady. Take care, provide for my family, and do all of that. Since he's hurt when he's hurting. And because of that macho thing, he's afraid to let you see because he's afraid you'll think less of him. Affirm him. Not just monthly, not just every now and then. Affirm him daily. You know what? And it's silly, but Jenny and I had this thing going. I'll look at her and I'll say, "You told me today you love me yet?"
"I'm waiting on you."
"So what does that do?" I say, "Okay, I love you." "And then what do you
do?" "I love you back."
Yeah. But you need to communicate like that, see. Affirm each other, actually. And if you do need to correct him, and many times you do, because he ain't perfect. Jane thinks I am, but we have more fun. Guys, I'll tell you, we have more fun. We've been married 53 years, and we have more fun than anybody else. Now, when we got married, we thought we was in love. And I'm just about through, but I'm going to tell you this part of it. We weren't in love. We were in heat. And so were you. Because as a 20-year-old, we didn't have a clue what real love was. Okay? We cared for none of them. We thought we were in love. But we really didn't know what love was. But she is one good-looking chick and still is. Okay. I think that's... But if correction is needed, be sure you do it with a loving spirit. Don't curl your fingers up and scream and holler. I guess one of the reasons I can say some of these things is because I never, and this is the honest to God truth, I never heard my mother or my daddy say an ill word to one another in me and my sister's presence. Not one time until Dad, shortly before he passed away and he became a little bit senile, and in his frustration of being confined to a wheelchair, he never cursed or anything like that at her, but he would speak sharply toward her. And I could just see Mom want to just cut her. But she understood that it wasn't him. It wasn't him. But guard your tongue. Guard your tongue. Don't say cutting things. So he did something stupid and got fired. Don't eat his sack lunch for it. I mean, be nice. Support him. That's when he needs your support more than anything else. Now, I'm done for now. So you go.
Well, the main thing that I wanted to point out today is, like Nathan said in Genesis 2:18, I'm going to go back a little bit further than he did. It says that God created woman to be a help meet. And I thought, well, that's kind of strange. I thought it said help mate, but it doesn't. It says meet. And I looked that up, and it means to join back together. And so when God took that rib out of Adam, then when he created woman, he brought him back. And they became one. They're joined together as one. And God told them, he says, be fruitful, replenish, and have dominion as one. When you get married, you're not supposed to make decisions without your wife's input. I know there's some things that men have to pretty much decide on their own, but major decisions in your life, you need to always consult your wife. Because, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. And just like he did Adam and Eve, he presented himself to the first couple, and he began to kill. He brought spiritual death to them. He destroyed all the wonderful things that God had prepared for them. And so you need to be extremely careful when you go into a marriage, because you should be aware that Satan is going to come and try to destroy that love, all the joy, the things that come from joining yourself to another person. So men, as the male in the house, you need to be very aware that you are to provide protection for your wife. Don't fail, as the spiritual leader in your home, to pray over your wife every day, because she is going to be bombarded. She's much more sensitive to spiritual things. I know that's kind of iffy there, guys, but it is true. Women seem to be more spiritually in tune. And so I think that's the reason Satan came to her, because she was more aware of the spiritual realm at that time than Adam was. So Satan is going to come against her a lot quicker than he does you. So you need to be aware of that. Be sensitive to her feelings. And no, women don't think like you do. They're not going to be, they're just not like you, is all I can say. So you need to be very careful. Don't go out with the guys and listen to vulgar jokes. Talk about intimate things that go on in your marriage. That is personal. That's private. That's between you and your wife. And you don't need to be discussing it with anyone else. If you have some marital problems, go to a qualified person to talk to. Don't take it to your buddies, because they're just as confused about things as you are.
Amen.
Do not go to your friends. Don't get caught up in this macho thing of talking about my old lady this and my old lady that and swapping tales. It's not a good thing for your marriage. I might say the same for women. Don't talk about intimate things outside of the marriage. And men, do not bring any kind of vulgarity into your marriage. I know Brother Frank has a wonderful book, The Marriage Bed, I believe it's entitled. Do not bring any kind of vulgarity into your marriage. It will destroy it. Don't be jealous of your wife, because jealousy, as you begin to show your jealous tendencies towards your wife, you're going to bring Well, you're going to make her feel dirty because she's going to receive that. It's going to become a curse on her. Then the more you accuse her, the more she's going to rebel against that. And just like we've heard too much here today about speaking what you speak with your tongue, you may even bring, just like,
you
reap what you sow. And, you know, the things that you speak, you may bring it about in your marriage. So don't speak things out of a jealous spirit. Be willing to admit when you're wrong, and don't ever be too proud to say, I'm sorry. Even if you don't feel like that it was your fault. Because, you know, it might have been your fault inadvertently, but it might not have, but it doesn't really matter. Because when you say, I'm sorry, then you're opening the door for reconciliation to come. So we want you guys to be blessed in your marriage. We've spent, like Nathan keeps saying, almost 53 years. We've had some really bad times. We've had some horrible times. But then we've had some really good times. And I am so glad that God entered our lives and began to build a good marriage for us, a good relationship. So like I say, be sure and pray over your wife. Affirm her above anything else. Don't let other people come between you and your wife. Okay?
One other thing I want to say to all of you now is that many times there is one spouse, either he or she, that gets turned on to the Lord and the other one is slow to react. One of the real problems, ladies, that happens in that regard is usually, because women are more spiritual, they usually have been, you might say, the priest of the home or the priestess of the home, because the man has not followed his responsibilities. We've seen this happen time and time again in the church where finally old George gets prayed into the church and everything, and the wife resents the fact now that he is actually going to assume spiritual leadership. And many times he tries to do it a long time before he's ready to do it, okay? But you have to just cut some slack in situations like that. Okay? Now, I want you to turn and face your mate. Janie's going to lead us in a prayer, and then I'm going to say a few words, and we'll renew the vows.
Okay. Father God, as we've shared our hearts here today to these couples, Father, I just ask that anything that we might have mentioned, that it has brought up memories of hurts, angry times that have not been actually resolved in their marriages, Father, that you would quicken those to them right now. And as before we go through the rest of the service here, that you would take a few minutes just to minister to them, allow them to turn to one another and resolve those differences, Father, those situations in their marriage that needs to be tended to before they commit to renewing their vows and their love for each other. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So in other words, look her right in the eye, look him right in the eye, and say, for all the pain I've caused you, I ask you to forgive me. I release you from any debt of unforgiveness that I've had in my heart against you. I accept you. Amen. And I love you. Thank you, brother. Praise the Lord. Okay. All right. Now, I'm going to ask you guys a question. And when I finish, you're to say, I do. Okay. If you can't say I do, then we're in trouble. Sir, do you now renew your vows to this woman to be with her in sickness and in health, richer or poorer, to love, cherish, protect, and honor her all the days of your life until death parts you. Ma'am, do you now renew your vows to this man, to be with him in sickness and in health, richer or poorer, to love, honor, and stand alongside of him all the days of your life until death parts you? Okay, now I'm going to tell you a quick story about what love really is. Now I got time. This is going to take about 5 minutes, okay? And then we'll finish. We'll finish in just a second. But I want you to understand what real love is. My Uncle Earl Hobson died in his 40s. My Aunt Lucille, his wife, remarried and married a guy that everybody said was a loser. His name was Charlie Kemp. He worked for the county, drove a maintainer for the county, and everybody said he's been married 3 or 4 times, and he's an out-and-out loser, and he'll just take Lucille for everything she had. Well, she didn't have much. I don't know why they were worried about that anyway. But anyway, she came down with what they diagnosed at that time as hardening of the arteries. I think it was just the old name for Alzheimer's. Because the time came when she was physically as good a shape as anybody, even when she was 60 years old. But she didn't know where she was, who she was, or anything else. And Charlie Kemp, this guy that was so sorry, according to what everybody said, went to see Lucille every day for something like 16 or 17 years. And every day, twice a day, he would take one of those little pasteboard cartons of ice cream with that little wooden spoon, and he would walk in that room. And she didn't know nothing, but the minute she heard his voice, she'd go licking her lips. He never, never, never quit going until the day she died. Our number 5 daughter, our granddaughter who we adopted and raised as our daughter, works in a nursing home. We went to see her, and she wanted us to go meet one family. And it was a man about 85 years old, and his wife had been semi-comatose for years. But he came 3 times a day to that nursing home for 7 years plus, because she just passed away recently, and fed her every day. You see, that's what real love is all about.
Amen.
Is taking care of one another through the hard times. That's why we preachers, when we do wedding ceremony, I hate weddings, but I love to marry people. But the hustle and bustle of a big wedding just... Anyway. Sirs, I want you to say this. I want you to look at her, call her by name, and then say this. I love you, and I am honored to be your husband. I will keep the vows I've just answered to, and be with you, and only you, from this day forward, and forever, as long as we both shall live. Now, ladies, you say his name. I love you. And I'm honored to be your wife. I will keep the vows I just answered to, and will be with you, and only you, from this day forward, and forever, as long as we both shall live. Now, just before we speak the blessing, you can kiss your bride. We're not done yet. We're not done yet. All right. Now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the authority vested in me as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I bless each home represented and up here on the front. I bless each home that's represented in this building, but you that are standing up here, I speak the blessings of God, and I speak into your life prosperity, health, happiness, wonderful, wonderful intimate communion with one another,
yes.
That you will love, honor, and cherish each other just as you have vowed to do, that you will, from this day forward, you will understand that you walk in the blessings of Almighty God. I speak those blessings into you, and this is a new day. And from this day forward, I don't care what's happened in your marriage in the past, from this day forward, it's a new day. Today is the first day of the rest of your life married to one another. And I speak that as a blessing to you. And if you receive that and walk in it, you're going to be like me and my little lady. You're just going to have the best time of your life in the days ahead. And I mean that seriously. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.